The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Greetings. Thanks for coming along for the Tuesday edition. It's a hot one out there, Kath, is it not?
Man.
Hot, hot, hot.
And you saw the forecast for Friday, Saturday. People?
It's going to be, what, mid-90s?
But don't you worry, because I currently have the space heater going here in the Word FM studios.
Yeah, we're good. Turn up the heat.
I like it, because if I didn't have the space heater going, it'd be, what, like 94 outside and 54 in here.
Exactly.
Why it has to be that way, I don't know.
Because we're sexist.
I have one on the in the control room as well.
Very nice.
Frigid.
We're cold, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, and then we go out of here, and it's just we got a problem. You know, we keep talking about climate change. We keep talking about taking care of the environment. How about turning down the air conditioning, people?
Yeah.
Back up the bus.
That's a lot of energy being wasted.
It's a lot of energy
going in reverse.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a big day today, John.
It's a big day for me.
It's the 50th. What's a big day for everybody?
Yeah.
It's the 50th anniversary of the launch of Apollo 11, and I know it's a particularly big thing for you because you're a space geek.
I can't believe how geeked out I am about this.
I know,
this.
It's awesome. It's great.
I've been waiting. I actually bought two t-shirts. I have two.
It's like the Steelers in the Super Bowl for me.
I have two Lunar Module t-shirts that I bought like months ago. And I wore one last week. I'm going to wear one, you know, later on this weekend.
But you're not going to wear one today?
No, I can't. You can't. It's not dress code.
Oh, right, because it doesn't have collar. Right.
But I'd like to.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay, so go back to 50 years ago today.
Yeah.
Do you remember the day of the launch?
I do remember the day of the launch, yeah.
Do you really?
Uh-huh, yeah. It was not a weekend day. I do know that. And I remember being in school and thinking, I can't believe I'm going to miss this. And around me, people were excited. But, you know, of course, there were three networks, and it was all shown on the network, and there was no videotape. But I did miss the liftoff.
Hmm.
But super excited that today was the day. You know, and up to that point, you know, as a kid, and I think a lot of kids, so I was 12 when Apollo 11 went to the moon. And I remember sort of catching this bug because when Mercury first happened, you know, the first sort of push forward into space development, I was too young. But then Gemini came along is what I remember, like being 8 years old and going, oh, my gosh, they're going, you know, there's guys in space and catching that thing and being. And so I remember every launch after that and knowing the astronauts' names, looking at the spaceships, knowing about, you know, rotations and orbits and all this kind of science stuff that we were all taught as we went along on the ride. And so this day, you know, was the sort of exclamation point short of the landing, which happened 4 days later. But this day was a really big day.
So I can't quite imagine that because I don't know if we've had anything like that since.
No, there has been nothing. This is the truth. Man on the moon in the 20th century was the most important moment of the 20th century. I'm fully convinced of that. 500 years from now, when people look back, they'll remember things about the United States. But I think people in the future will definitely put this at the top of the list, that we put the first person on a sphere outside of our planet.
Okay, so when you're you know, looking in the rearview mirror now and you see how important it was then, do you feel sad for us? Yeah, you do.
Heartbroken. It was a wasted opportunity because we were so technically far ahead of everyone. I mean, the Russians put up a good front, but the Russians were relying essentially on old World War II hardware, and they did not have the prowess, the wherewithal, the smarts, and the money to back it up. And in the end, really, the money is what drove it. So, yeah, I mean, it's a wasted opportunity. So now everyone's catching up, you know, the Chinese, the Indians, private enterprise. But we could have established a long-term base on the moon and been way ahead of everybody.
What happened?
what happened. It was largely for the public, a mission fueled by imagination. And it was an easy thing to grab onto. Holy smokes. Astronauts looking like sci-fi, like a Buck Rogers kind of thing. And then once Apollo 11 happened, and then Apollo 12, to a lesser degree, the failure of Apollo 13, which wasn't a failure, and then 14, 15, 16, 17. By the time, 14, 15, 16, 17, people just got on with their lives. We just sort of, like anything, mm-hmm. right? What was once fantastic becomes mundane.
Right, right.
Yeah. So I've been thinking a lot about this. And of course, I've just been inundated. I've been reading, being here, there's things that come my way. And so I've been reading about this nonstop. And some questions that I always had about the space program have been answered, over the last couple of weeks as I've been reading. One of the things I was really fascinated about was Wernher von Braun. Mm-hmm. And Wernher von Braun, this is amazing. And you can't make this kind of stuff up. Wernher von Braun worked for Adolf Hitler. Wernher von Braun was part of the Nazi SS. And, in retrospect, this would never have happened today, that a Nazi would be brought to the United States and be essentially the heart of the space program. But at the end of World War II, Wernher von Braun was smart enough, of course, to know that this was the Germans were about to lose. So they took apart all these gigantic V-2 rockets that they were raining down on England. They took all the spare parts, and through the help of higher-ups, they hid them in the mountains in Germany. And when the Americans came, they knew that the Americans were somewhere in the vicinity. They sent one of the guys down from the Wernher von Braun's rocket team, and he went down with a little stick and a white flag and said, "I surrender." And the first guy that the first American serviceman they encountered, he was like, "What, are you kidding me?" And so then the word went out, "We have captured the rocket men," and it went down the chain of command or up the chain of command. And before you know it, higher ups in the United States military showed up and they were like, oh, this is important. So Wernher von Braun, he negotiated with the United States government to take himself and 500 of his scientists
really?
And their families out of Nazi Germany at the end of World War II. And they were taken out to Tucson, Arizona, where they spent a couple of years in the desert, and they were allowed to continue with their studies of rocketry.
So they were able to kind of pick up where they left off?
Yeah, funded by the United States government, because the government knew that there was great value there, obviously. And then, en masse, those people were taken to Huntsville, Alabama, of all places, where they set up shop for the next several decades, and they essentially developed the Saturn V rocket. The Saturn V rocket, to this day, 5 decades plus later, is still the largest rocket ever produced and still could be operational. The United States could put that rocket, build a rocket and send it to the moon in a matter of less than a year. No doubt about that. But Wernher von Braun was the heart
what
of that.
What a story.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. And while this was going on, the press would say, they would sort of nudge him. What do you think about being a Nazi? And he would say, look, I don't know anything about this. But the fact of the matter is, he did know. There were Jewish slaves working on the V-2 rocket production. There's film of Wernher von Braun with these men. You see those, at Auschwitz, those uniforms these poor men wore. But they were slaves who were working for the Nazis to try to win World War II. So, essentially, though, Wernher von Braun is still an American hero, because without Wernher von Braun, we never would have made it to the moon. Never.
All right, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the 50th anniversary of the launch of Apollo 11. I want to ask if it's the astronauts that you guys loved. Were they, did you have your favorite one as like sports stars? We'll talk more about that when we come back on today's Ride Home.
101.5 WORD.
Next time on Adventures in Odyssey.
I don't think I've ever seen a room at Wits End this messy.
Wits' request for a little cleanup help turns into a labor dispute.
Oh, something wrong, Jimmy?
Well, you gave everybody the same amount.
Well, yes, I did.
But everybody didn't work the same amount.
Is there a point to all this, Connie?
It's a lesson in servanthood.
That's the point.
On the next Adventure in Odyssey.
Tonight at 8 on 101.5 Word FM, WORD.
You watch what you eat. You're hitting the gym. You're doing your best to live a healthy life. But did you know that a bad night's sleep and a bad mattress can have a big impact on your health? Here at the Original Mattress Factory, our hand-built mattresses made of the highest quality materials provide the comfort and support needed to provide healthy sleep for years to come. To learn more about how the right mattress can help you achieve healthy sleep habits, visit originalmattress.com or stop by an Original Mattress Factory store near you.
The gimmicks, the flashy sales, and the big markups. Mattress stores have made the mattress shopping experience confusing on purpose. Ron Trzynski started the Original Mattress Factory to create a better way. He raised the bar on quality, offered hand-built mattresses for a fraction of the cost, and ditched the high-pressure sales tactics, all to create a better mattress buying experience for you. You could say he was the original disruptor. Stop by an Original Mattress Factory store or visit us at originalmattress.com to see the OMF difference for yourself.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-458-7294. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-458-7294. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. 1-800-458-7294. 1-800-458-7294.
So how was your breakfast this morning? Was it magnificent or just meh? You could have enjoyed a little morning comfort at the Bistro To Go Cafe, like their simply delicious signature sugar pecan French toast, a savory Tuscan or farmer-style breakfast bowl, or a daily chef-crafted special. Bistro To Go Cafe will always get your morning off to a delicious and healthy start. Have a great day with Bistro To Go on the north side. See what's cooking at bistro-togo.com.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on a Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing.
It's the 50th anniversary of the launch of Apollo 11, so we've got all things moon happening on today's edition of The Ride Home. And now, since John is the space geek here, and you've been a space geek since you were a kid, so yeah. For sure it's been every single day since I've met you. So I know this last month you've been just immersed in your serious geekdom. Okay, so I have a couple questions for you. The first one that came to my head when I was thinking about today was, you know, you said you bought two T-shirts. Now, I buy T-shirts when Pittsburgh sports teams go to, like, the Cup, right, or the Super Bowl or something
right.
So I wonder, did you guys, like, when you were kids, did you have favorite astronauts? Like, kids today love NBA players or hockey players or what?
Yeah, my favorite astronaut died. I remember this as plain as day. It was 1966, and I was watching television when they broke in with a special report. And the Apollo, they were not named that at the time, but essentially it was Apollo 1. Gus Grissom was my favorite astronaut. Gus Grissom, Roger White, and Ed Chaffee. And these guys were on the launch pad working on, you know, different things. They were 10 minutes in a rehearsal countdown when in 100% oxygen, that Apollo command module was sealed up from the inside. There was a spark from faulty wiring and it ignited the inside of that capsule. Those three guys died a long, hard, gruesome death. And essentially the space program stopped. It ground to a halt. But the tragedy of Apollo 1 was it forced NASA to go back. And, of course, NASA was meticulous about their work. But 100% oxygen in an environment like that was ripe for disaster. So it forced NASA to go back and reconfigure things, which I believe made them successful and able to go to the moon. Yeah, so Gus Grissom was my favorite astronaut.
Okay. So when it came time then for Apollo 11,
yep.
And you knew that these three guys were going, like, did you go – Were you like stumbling out into your backyard at night and saying, oh my gosh, Neil Armstrong's going up there?
I was just out of my mind. Seriously, I could not. I was just out of my mind with this. I read and thought and watched anything I could get my hands on. And I don't think I was alone. I think a lot of guys were like me.
Right.
You were just obsessed by this. These guys, they, you know, ascended, no pun intended, any sports figure, any entertainment figure. These were the guys. Because, you know, later on, Tom Wolfe coined that phrase, the right stuff. These guys were the right stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
These guys were test pilots who were putting their lives on the line. So, I mean, there was nothing that even came close to comparing to these guys.
Okay, so you were rooting for one guy.
Yeah, rooting for one guy. But really what you're not rooting for, you weren't rooting for, once my guy was gone and the, you know, the group, the Apollo astronauts were there, it wasn't so much rooting for one guy. It was rooting for the moon. That the moon was out there, and you could, you know, anybody goes out there and looks at the moon and think, what is the moon all about? Look how beautiful it is, and it's so far away, and people have thought about it and talked about it, written about it, poetry and literature and all this stuff. And then, seriously, the rocket, Apollo 11, lifts off, and men are, they are actually going to go and stand on the moon. How fascinating is that going to be?
So you were rooting for the project?
Yeah.
As much as you were rooting for a dude?
Yeah, more so. More so for the project. More so that, and in some ways, this is true. Even though I had nothing to do with this, most people had nothing to do with this. Now, at the peak, NASA hired 400,000 people to work on that project.
Wow.
400,000 people. And in their wisdom, NASA, with all their contracts, every state in the union was represented by the contract that, you know, everybody got a piece of the work across all 50 states. So essentially, the entire nation, everybody got a little chunk of money because of what was going on. Big chunks of money. Billions of dollars.
So everybody had an investment.
Right. So the idea that we were going to go to the moon, everybody was part of that.
And it was a group effort.
Yeah, without a doubt. And there was a sense of national pride about this as well. It was dangerous. It was daring. It was the most incredibly astounding thing.
Okay, so that's another thing that we don't have now, is that same type of national pride or
right.
national focus.
Yeah, I think both of those things. Look, I mean, people now, this drives me crazy. When I hear people say America was never great, my head wants to explode, because if you lived during that era, you saw how great people were. Look, we talked about this yesterday. When JFK set the goal to put a man on the moon by the end of the decade, by the end of the 1960s, and then when he was assassinated, that was the reason, I believe, essentially, why we went to the moon, to honor JFK and to show.
That was like the heart of it for
right.
America?
I think so. I don't think if JFK would have lived, probably we wouldn't have made it there by the end of the decade. We may never have made it because it was super expensive and there was a lot of pressure and there was a lot of criticism about going to the moon. But because JFK died and people loved JFK, all that, that forced us to go and make that commitment.
All right. Talk about the last month. You know, you've been swimming in all of the media attention about Apollo 11. So much stuff that has been available that maybe you didn't know about before. You just mentioned Margaret Hamilton.
Oh, yeah. So Margaret Hamilton, here's the deal. When JFK said, let's go to the moon, there was no plan. There was nobody had any, this is how this works, ABC. They had to make this up out of whole cloth as they went along. How do you even get to the moon? What kind of rocket? What's that look like? What about a spacesuit? What about all that? I mean, every step of the way. So hundreds of thousands of people started to work on this project, one small step at a time. A young woman by the name of Margaret Hamilton, she was 23 years old and just out of MIT. She, pretty much alone, by hand, wrote the code. Everyone's big into coding right now. She wrote the code that pushed America into the moon.
Okay, so I've seen that photograph. I've seen the photograph of her standing there with her.
She's diminutive. She's about 5'3".
Right, and she's like 90 pounds, right? And I see her next to that stack of papers. But I, first of all, did not realize that she was 23 years old.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize she did it alone.
Right. Alone. pretty much. I mean, there was a team around her, but she was the head person. She put that together.
And she did that by hand, I guess.
Yeah. MIT was really essential in this, that NASA had the wherewithal, that, you know, there were so many key figures, people's names that are forgotten, you know, to the general public.
Or never known.
Pretty much known now. I mean, really, Apollo and Gemini and Mercury, that's been really well documented. But you have to be a super geek to go into this stuff. There are so many men and women who had such smarts and were able to figure this out one step at a time. And, of course, Margaret Hamilton, because she was so young and so bright, and the dichotomy of a woman, especially, right, a woman at the head of this thing, where there were all these men, you know, Mad Men, 1960s kind of thing, with the skinny ties and cigarettes and short sleeve white shirts, and there's Margaret Hamilton. But there's a lot of women who were part of this. We talked about this yesterday, about the coding that was done, the X, 586,000 strands of X's or ones or zeros. That was done by hand. And once the computer was set, you couldn't make changes. So 3 months before they launched, all that had to be done and put together.
It was all locked in at that
point. And you couldn't make any changes. It was what it was. There were so many wonderful things. You know, how about LBJ. LBJ had a major part in the space program.
Really?
Because, you know, because JFK was killed, LBJ was a Texan. He made a point of putting mission control in Texas.
But still
in
there.
Houston, right, yeah. But then, of course, LBJ said, I'm not going to run for a second term. So Nixon just walks in, and he does that, you know, phone call to the astronauts on the moon. Well, Nixon's speechwriters, William Safire, said to Nixon and to NASA, hey, you better make some contingency plans because the astronauts, at best, gave themselves a 50-50 chance that they would survive this first push.
Wow.
So Nixon and William Safire put together a couple scenarios. The men have died on the way to the moon. That speech.
Mm.
Or the men have died on the moon. That speech. Or the men are alive, but they are stranded on the moon.
Oh, my gosh.
That speech.
Oh.
And those things were put in place ahead of time. And you know what? No one would insure the astronauts. So what the astronauts did, they started a letter-writing campaign. And each astronaut sat down and wrote hundreds of handwritten notes and their own handwriting on envelopes. And if in case the astronauts died, they were going to sell these, auction off these things, right, for the highest bidder, and that would provide enough money for the families to be
okay.
In case
they died.
Yeah. That kind of crazy stuff.
Wow. We're talking about the 50th anniversary of the launch of Apollo 11. All right, so just a couple minutes left, John. For those of us who either weren't alive or weren't aware or just aren't invested in the lore of Apollo 11, why does it matter? I mean, I know that I look out at the moon and I think, okay, so we've been to the moon. But what about the whole project, the success of it, matters?
It matters because someone had the guts to imagine something incredible. Something that was, no pun intended, otherworldly. Someone had the guts to say, we're going to do this. We're going to marshal our best, our brightest, our resources, and we're going to do this. And you know, they did it. They made it work. I mean, no one does that. No country does that, especially as a peacetime project. Wars have been fought. Millions of people have been killed in the names of, you know, conquering. But this was about something different. This is about showing imagination and intellect and heart.
The ultimate frontier mindset.
It is. And America did it. That's why it matters to me. Because I believe that we could still do this. We as a great nation could set our sights on wonderful, lofty goals and drill down into that. And make something that is unimaginable reality. I think that shows the nature of what it is, the human spirit, and how God has put so much genius in us. And all we've got to do is work together for something that is the good, for the common good, that we would all flourish and everyone's lifted. The boat rises in the water. That's why it matters. And I think people look back at that, you know, that phrase, you know, which happened while they were going to the moon. We can put a man on the moon, but we can't fix City Hall. We can put a man on the moon, but we can't fix the potholes. Well, there's a lot of strength to that. Because most of life is, it's ridiculous, or it's unmanageable, or it seems overwhelming.
Or it's mundane.
Right. That, when you put your mind to something and everybody leans their shoulder into something, men and women together, incredible things can happen. And that's what makes America great. No other country had the resources, the imagination, the chutzpah, the guts to do this. Only America. And I still believe we're the only ones who can do great things like that. I still believe that, given the opportunity.
This is Kathy Emmons. John and I are grateful for the encouragement we have from all of our advertisers, and especially our friends at Grove City College. Thanks to everyone at Grove City for supporting The Ride Home.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free.
Just pay shipping and handling.
No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-458-7294. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-458-7294. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. 1-800-458-7294. 1-800-458-7294.
Providence Presbyterian Church, Washington Alliance Church, Bethlehem Lutheran Church, St. John the Baptist Church, Impact Christian Church, The Bible Chapel. What do all these churches from various denominations have in common? Nello Construction. Design and build with one company. Nello Construction. Full service construction from the ground up. Renovation. Expansion. Nello Construction. The choice for churches.
See the projects.
Begin the journey
at NelloConstruction.com.
Hi, I'm John Henney from Henney Jewelers. Since 1887, my family has helped people celebrate the most memorable moments in their lives. We are rooted in faith and commit to doing the right thing again and again. We believe in the covenant of marriage and use our To Have and To Hold program to encourage couples as they prepare to spend the rest of their lives together. Please stop into our Shadyside store to learn more or visit HenneyJewelers.com. Henney Jewelers, your jewelers for life.
Looking to buy a car? Online shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for the car you want and see what other people paid for it too. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience.
Most clubs you join require an initiation fee or a club membership, but not the Word FM Discount Shopping Club. No, in our club you save as much as half. Half off home improvement services, web design, family entertainment, music festivals, and much more. All from the comfort of your computer or smartphone. Log on now to wordfm.com/shopping and God save the green.
A shower or thunderstorm will be around for this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy and muggy tonight. Low 72. Will stay rather cloudy tomorrow, 80 degrees. There will be a couple of heavy showers and thunderstorms around tomorrow afternoon and into tomorrow night, even leading to some low-lying and poor drainage flooding. Low tomorrow night, 70. Clouds will give way to some sunshine for Thursday with a high of 87 degrees. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Danielle Niddle.
Celebrating the 50th anniversary of the launch of Apollo 11, we've been talking to John.
You know, we didn't talk about...
Seriously, we didn't even talk about what?
About communion.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
So it was years ago. It was when we first started the show.
Yeah.
You, with your incredible knack of finding unbelievable guests, we landed Buzz Aldrin on the show.
Yeah, Buzz Aldrin joined us, and he told us a story.
Oh, my gosh. First of all, he's a nut.
He's a nut. He's wild.
Right. And we know now, from reading since then, that that Buzz earned his position in that threesome on that trip, but they did not want him to be the commander.
Right. Although his father was a higher-up muckety-muck in Washington, D.C., and he went around NASA and personally lobbied that Buzz would be that guy. Buzz Aldrin's mother, her maiden name was Marion Moon. I mean, you can't make that up. And the tragedy was, whatever was going on, she committed suicide about 6 months before Buzz Aldrin lifted off. Yeah, so Marion Moon never got to see Buzz on the moon. Anyway, so Buzz Aldrin was a believer.
Yeah.
And he was Episcopalian. And Buzz Aldrin, this is interesting too, they would give gifts. The crew, the astronauts would give gifts to the liftoff crew. Buzz Aldrin, before he stepped in the capsule, gave Bibles out to the crew. Good news. Remember this? Remember that?
Yes.
Good news for modern man. He gave those out to the crew. Anyway, he lands on the moon, and on his left sleeve is a small sort of pocket. He opens that pocket up. Inside is a small vial of wine and a small communion wafer. And once they were settled down and everything was good, he took an opportunity to give himself communion on the moon. The first food and drink on the moon was the body and blood of Christ, which, fabulous. Now, we had Buzz back maybe 2 years after that, and he was like...
He was in an odd space.
Right, and he was like, I don't know what that was all about. You know, he just kind of disavowed it, which was weird. I mean, he just denied his faith. But you can't make that up.
I don't know if he denied his faith as much as he was.
He was dismissive.
He was in a deep mode of searching. Mm. Let's put it that way.
Okay, that's good. That's fair enough.
Yeah, I think it was. But anyway, it was an honor, of course, to speak to Buzz Aldrin.
Sure was.
It's an amazing story. All right, so for people who are interested tonight in honoring the launch, and they wanted, let's watch a movie about the moon.
Right. Now, Mike showed me today that he's showing his son. How old's Dr. J, Mike?
He's turning three this
Saturday.
Three.
So they watched Apollo 11, videotape of Apollo 11 launch this morning.
Yeah.
Any kid is going to want to see that. Just fascinated by it.
I was actually surprised how glued he was to the TV.
Is that right?
At his age. I mean, I was like, Jonathan, what do you think about this? This is awesome. And he didn't even look at me. He was glued to the TV.
Because it's incredible. I'm telling you, you should take him to go see that film Apollo, which is down at the Carnegie Science Center. That will blow your socks off. What an incredible movie.
Yeah.
There's no narration. There's no audio. Just what was happening.
It's not needed.
Oh,
okay.
Fabulous.
Okay. Let's go back to 1902, that first sci-fi film, A Trip to the Moon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a great little film. It's a silent movie. I'll pronounce the name wrong. George Millet, I think, is his
name.
Yeah,
I think that's probably right.
And everyone's seen this where, there's the moon looking all happy.
Right.
And all of a sudden, in his eye, there's this, rocket ship in his eye. And the moon's kind of like wiggling around.
That's cool, though, because they're trying to imagine what that would be like. And
yeah.
So to think that it actually came true is kind of preposterous.
It is.
It really is. Because it went from being like campy weird.
Right.
Weird people who like live in a geek universe to it actually happening.
Yeah.
Okay. Apollo 13.
Great film. Right. Oh. I mean, who doesn't? Who doesn't love that film?
Oh my gosh.
Again, there's that can-do spirit.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, that scene where they bring in, all the
dump it out.
Yeah. Throw it out on the table.
Here's what we got. Make this work.
Right. I love
and they
that
did.
So much.
I mean, I've seen photographs of that actual, how they repaired that thing. There's literally gaffers, tape, and bandages. It's all jammed in there with some tubing. It looks like a mess, but it worked.
But it worked. What about Moon, 2009?
Oh, yeah. I think that's – is that Rockwell?
That's Nathan Parker. Screenplay by Nathan Parker. Duncan Jones directed it.
It's a great movie.
Stanley – yeah.
A guy – it's essentially the story of an astronaut who's kind of like losing his mind. But it's really –
Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, Sam Rockwell.
That's what it is.
Fosse.
Right.
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 He's terrific in it.
Okay. What about First Man?
Oh, I love First Man. Yeah. I mean, that's Neil Armstrong's story of him. And
not just about the moon, but that's like his personal gig.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's another Armstrong film out as well, narrated by Harrison Ford. It's got a short run, and that's worth seeing as well.
That's a dramatic film?
Yeah. I think it's called Armstrong.
Okay. I don't know that. And what about Apollo 11?
Excellent film. Please go see that.
Now, that's being shown, I believe, today at the Science Center.
Yeah, of course it will. I bet you multiple times.
Right.
That's the place to see it. Oh, it's seriously, when you see that thing take off, 36 stories high, all that propulsion taken off, all that fire, I mean, that it's majestic. Highly recommend it. Go see that movie.
WORD.
As we study the book of Jeremiah with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, we hear one theme repeat itself: turn back to God. It was Jeremiah's message to the people of Judah, and it's God's message to every wandering heart in every generation, including our own. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to join us as we continue our wild and wonderful journey through the Bible.
Through the Bible, this evening at 9 p.m. on 101.5 WORD.
Hey, it's John Hall. So a while back, the folks at MyPillow said, "Hey, John, can you try out a MyPillow and let us know what you think?" I was skeptical. I mean, it's a pillow, but what did I have to lose, right? I'll tell you what I lost. Interrupted sleep. No more folding the pillow in half. No more flat, lifeless pillows. It changed my life. So I'm letting you know, you need MyPillow. Well, not my actual pillow, but your own MyPillow. It stays cool all night long. No more waking up at 3 a.m. to flip to the cool side of the pillow. It keeps its shape. No more reshaping your pillow in the middle of the night. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Try it. Don't like it? Return it. MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty. Do you have a pillow that comes with a 10-year warranty? You can toss a MyPillow into your washer and dryer. It's like new again. Get a two-pack of MyPillow's premiums for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 800-391-0954. Use promo code WORD.
How does Eden Christian Academy prepare students for success? Through education that ignites the mind and inspires the spirit, from pre-K through 12th grade, through 47 state-certified full-time teachers, and opportunities in sports, the arts, and service to the community. With results like SAT scores 200 points over the national average, schedule a tour at any of Eden's three North Hills campuses and see what the area's largest non-denominational Christian school has to offer at EdenChristianAcademy.org.
As an organ donor, your story doesn't have to end. The good in you can live on. In fact, you could save up to 8 lives and restore sight and health for many more. Sign up right now online as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. You'll be happy you did. And just maybe, someone else will be happy too. Go to organdonor.gov. It saves lives. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Looking for a satisfying career helping people with disabilities? Consider LifeSteps, who's served Western Pennsylvania since 1923 and offers 100% paid health, dental, and vision premiums for full-time employees. All shifts available. Make a difference and call LifeSteps today at 724-283-1010 or visit lifesteps.net. That's lifesteps.net to check out available positions. LifeSteps is an equal opportunity employer.
Blue moon, you saw me standing alone without a dream.
We're talking about Apollo today. We look back 50 years to the launch of Apollo 11, headed to the moon. But, you know, mixed in that, of course, we're talking about God as well and theology. Tom Soroka is with us, Father Tom. He's been a regular guest on our show. And Tom is an Orthodox priest. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hi. Nice to see you.
Yeah.
Always good to have you here, Tom.
Yeah, Tom, last week we were talking to Lou Vallone, who's a priest in the Catholic Church. And he was talking about confession from a Catholic perspective. Mm-hmm. It ruffled some feathers.
It ruffled a lot of feathers. Mm-hmm. And you know, listeners were emailing or direct messaging or whatever and saying, no, wait a minute, I don't need to confess to somebody. I don't need someone to absolve me.
Sure.
because Jesus absolves me. I mean, it was clear that the Reformation had happened.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we were not endorsing, you know, Catholic confession.
We're just trying to explore how different people look at confession.
Different faith traditions, right? Sure. Different believers.
So let me...
So what's the Orthodox
view? Give you our perspective here. And that is, when we talk about confession, so we have that word used two ways in the scriptures, right? We have the Greek word homologeo, which, for instance, you know, all of us would know, like Romans 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart, right, you will be saved. So that word, homologeo, means we know what it means, right? Like you have to speak that. You have to say that.
Right. So it's something you believe that you've translated into words.
You actually have to say it. So in English, the same word is used in places like James, right? So James 5 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, right? Confess your trespasses to one another. So this word is actually the same word with a little X on the front of it. So it's ex homologeo, which simply means it comes from your mouth. Homologeo, logos, word, right? So the words have to come from your mouth. And we have so many places in the scriptures where we hear, for instance, Jesus begins his ministry and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Or the chapter before, Matthew chapter 3, where it says, when John was baptizing in the wilderness, they came to him confessing, ex homologeo, their sins. They were actually not just saying, I'm a sinner, but they were actually articulating what sins they said.
Individual sins.
Right. There's no other way to actually translate that. And here's the important thing for Orthodox Christians, but, you know, I just want to speak from kind of a biblical standpoint, really. This is what we have. And that is, we cannot look at something like confession to be a divider of us. Like, well, that's what they do, and that's not what we do.
Right.
We have to take the scriptures as they are. We have to take the practice of the church as it is. And we can look at it a lot of different ways. We can look at it and say, hey, it's healthy. You know, a husband and a wife. Imagine your husband, right? And he does something that you don't like. You're going to expect him eventually to fess up. Right. You're going to expect him to come to you and say, I did this. We speak this to our children, too. Mm-hmm. We say, I want you to tell me what you did. Okay? From a practical standpoint, we understand that cathartic nature of confession.
Of naming it.
Of actually saying and speaking what I did. There's something very healthy about it. I have to admit to someone else, a trusted person, this is what I did. So let's toss out the ritual involved and Catholic and Orthodox and whatever. Let's kind of say the practical part of it. Now, if we as Christians believe that we are members of one another, right? So this is also Romans, Ephesians. We are members of one another in Christ. When I sin, I don't just sin against God. I sin against every one of my brothers, especially in my community. As an Orthodox priest, what I'm trying to do is build a community. I am joining people to the body of Christ, not just some amorphous thing out there, but I'm saying you are members of us. We are members of one another. Look at what it says in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5. They held all things in common. That just doesn't mean physical things. It means they loved one another. They ate together. They cried together. St. Paul talks about that so much, right? So when we sin, we are not just breaking communion with God. We are actually breaking communion with our brothers and sisters in the church. In other words, we're breaking communion with our own understanding of who we are in Christ. And in order to bring myself back into that communion, I have to articulate. Think about We have 1 Corinthians, where we hear terrible things that, you know, some young man did with his mother-in-law. And then in 2 Corinthians, he's brought back into the community. They embrace him because there's that repentance, mm-hmm. right? So sin doesn't just separate us from God, because what are the two great commandments? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. When you sin, you also sin against man. You sin against your fellow human being. And that's why we know intuitively when I'm having trouble with somebody, I need to go to that person and I actually need to fix it. Jesus says that. He says in the Sermon on the Mount, before you bring your gift to the altar, go to your brother whom you have offended, make it right, then bring your mm-hmm. gift to the altar.
I see.
Right?
Right. Okay. So the idea, though, what I'm taking from this essentially is that by saying it out loud to someone else, there is power in that. That's the power, the releasing of it. I acknowledge that. I release it. I'm asking for forgiveness for my ills.
I think if we want to look at it from a biblical standpoint, from a practical standpoint, the actual articulation of it, standing before a person that I offended, or standing before the community, or standing before the representative of the community and saying, I did this. I am sorry. I am asking God for forgiveness. I'm asking you for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And I want to be whole again. I want to be a member of the community. So we can't get off so easily as to just look at some church's way that they practice and say, that's not me, right? That's kind of like that old joke. I don't know. I hope I haven't told it before, but you know, it's the guy that they find on the island, right? He's been stuck on the island for 20 years all alone, and they find him there, and he has 2 churches built. And they couldn't believe it. He'd been there for 20 years, and he built 2 churches. They said, well, why did you build 2 churches? He says, well, the one on the left is the one I go to, and the one on the right is the one I don't go to. Right?
So, yeah, right?
So the point is, forget that.
Yeah.
Look at the scriptures. Look mm-hmm. at the practicality of it. And frankly, it is undeniable in the early church, because they held all things in common. The word homologeo, ex homologeo, absolutely means a public confession. And I can tell you, the documentation is there, that it used to be you loved each other so much that when you sinned, you got up in front of the congregation and you said what you did. The problem today is that would scandalize everybody.
Right.
We don't have that, unfortunately, we don't have that kind of relationship with people, and we don't have that trust of one another. And if we were to get up in front of the congregation and say, I did this, like, everybody would be scandalized. Mm-hmm. So there is a way in which we can and should go to our leaders who represent the community and say, I am sorry for what I did. I want to be whole again. I want to be once again fully a member of the body of Christ and members of one another. And we do that by actually confessing, by speaking those sins.
Father Tom Sirok is with us from St. Nicholas Orthodox Church in McKees Rocks, PA. Stick around. We've got a few minutes left. Father Tom's going to stay with us. We'll be right back.
We have reached the age where things just cost more.
Cars, mm-hmm. phones, mm-hmm. life insurance.
Your blood pressure is up.
Your weight is up.
You're one to talk.
I have type 2 diabetes, so I'm getting dinged just like you.
Thank goodness for Big Lou.
Big Lou!
Big Lou can get term life insurance rates for a 50-year-old male with type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, or maybe he's on anxiety meds,
mm-hmm.
for just around $200 a month for $1 million of coverage.
Oh, you got to say that again.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll say it. Big Lou and term provider could get a 50-year-old man, a little dinged up, $1 million in life insurance for around $200 a month.
Call Big Lou.
Big Lou!
He's like you. 800-555-2085. That's 800-555-2085.
Don't put it off. If you're overweight, diabetic, have high blood pressure, you gotta call Big Lou.
Gotta. 800-555-2085.
Write it down.
800-555-2085.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme accessories for all your dirty jobs, like hauling landscape supplies. Protect your vehicle with spray-on bed liners, tonneau covers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more. Say goodbye to dirt and grime inside and out with extreme detailing. Plus, lift kits, electronics, and remote starters, always a favorite. Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, for the extreme in all of us. At extremetruck.net.
Hey, Pittsburgh. If you've been thinking about a new car or SUV, now is the time. With the summer sales event in full swing, Calusi has savings on the entire lineup of crossovers like the Chevy Equinox, Trax, and Blazer. Plus, with Chevy Loyalty Cash, you could save an additional $1,000 off the MSRP on select models. Check them out at Calusi.com. Find new roads at Calusi Chevrolet.
Baseball season is in full swing. It's a good thing Matt secured his denture with Super PolyGrip. Now he can enjoy the snacks as much as the game.
PolyGrip!
Hey, how are you? So great to see you.
It's that time of year when the family meets up.
Hi, come on. Get together, guys. Family photo.
It's a good thing Jack cleans his denture with Polident so he can enjoy the whole day with confidence.
I love the joy that children bring to the office.
Good dental habits begin early with Dr. Megan Stock.
I like creating those good, positive first experiences.
My mommy is a really good dentist, and she'll take good care of you.
Visit StockFamilyDentistry.com.
You have my word on it.
Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does, just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
All right, we're talking about confession. I'm not sure what that has to do with it, but we'll
take it. We're dancing in the moonlight.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Come on, John.
Sorry.
Check in.
Father Tom Soroka is with us, St. Nicholas Orthodox Church in McKees Rocks, PA, talking about confession. Okay, Tom, so...
What does it look like in the Orthodox Church?
Yeah, it's a good question. So there's not a special room. We don't have any divider. So remember, I have a relationship with my parishioners. So they know me by name. You know, they see me all the time. And so they just come, and we have a special place. There's a gospel, and there's a cross. So there's a gospel book and a cross, and there are some prayers, and they simply say their sins. For me, I make it very clear, because it's in the prayers, this is not about me. They're not confessing to me. They're not getting absolution that somehow I am granting, because I'm proclaiming God's forgiveness. I'm reminding them that God is the one who forgives sins. And so this is very important.
So you're a facilitator.
I am a witness. And that's the actual word that is used in the prayer. It says, I am but a witness. So you're confessing before God. And sometimes it can be very formal. Sometimes it can be very emotional. People have a lot on their mind.
Yeah,
we have a lot on their
do.
Plate. We all do. And so I think it's very healthy. And it is asked to be done regularly. I think normally a person would go at least 4 times a year. Some people go more often. Some people don't go as often. Some people really, you know, have a little bit of difficulty with it. I think it's a matter of trust.
It's hard. I mean, gosh, it's
how often
be
is
hard.
It often?
Who wants to admit?
Nobody
their
wants
sins?
To admit. We're kidding.
But
right?
How often can you go? Is it every week you offer this, or every 2 weeks, or what?
Well, we have confessions every Saturday night from 4:30 to 5.
I
so,
see.
But you know, people come more often. Like during Lent, it's every day.
Sure.
People don't come every day, but I'm just saying we have that opportunity every day. Some people, if they want to have a long discussion, we might discuss outside of confession, and then we'll just go in and do the actual rite of confession. So, you know, it can go on for a long time or it can be a few minutes. And there's no pressure. Sometimes I will ask questions. Normally, what I will do is I will give some advice or perspective from the scriptures, from the lives of the saints, or whatever it is. And there may be some kind of a prescription. If somebody stole something, what will you do to make that right? Well, I've already, you know, used it. Well, then give some money to the poor, or whatever it is. Something very practical so that, you know, we don't excuse someone's sin. We simply say, God forgives you. Now make it right.
I see. And the price must be paid.
Yep.
And it has been.
That's good.
It has been. Absolutely. Thank God.
Father Tom Soroka, St. Nicholas Orthodox Church. Tom, 20 seconds left. Talk about St. Nicholas.
Yeah, orthodoxpittsburgh.org. We would love for people to come visit us. Of course, things are a little slower in the summer, but it'll heat back up in the fall. We'll have our services. We have them every Sunday at 10 a.m. We would love to come and see you and meet you and get to know you and share our faith experience with you.
Fabulous. Tom, always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, guys. Love you both.
Love you. Father Tom Soroka, St. Nicholas Orthodox Church, McKees Rocks, PA.
Sharing the word that changes the world. 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh, a service of Salem Media Group.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Senators heard about social media censorship today. Google Vice President for Government Affairs and Public Policy Karan Bhatia insisted Google is objective in presenting information to users.
So let me be clear. Google is not politically biased. Indeed, we go to extraordinary lengths to build our products and enforce our policies in an analytically objective, apolitical way.
But Dennis Prager's Salem talk show host says they're not objective. He's suing Google-owned YouTube for restricting access to some 10% of the videos from his popular Prager University.
There is no hate. There is no extremism. It's simply that a conservative group has issued these. We have three former prime ministers, four Pulitzer Prize winners giving our courses, and they still put us on the restricted list.
Prager is one of the speakers at the hearing. This is SRN News.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy. Driven by Calusi Chevrolet, serving the Pittsburgh area for over 100 years.
Providence Presbyterian Church, Washington Alliance Church, Bethlehem Lutheran Church, St. John the Baptist Church, Impact Christian Church, the Bible Chapel. What do all these churches from various denominations have in common? Nello Construction. Design and build with one company. Nello Construction. Full service construction from the ground up. Renovation. Expansion. Nello Construction. The choice for churches. See the projects. Begin the journey at NelloConstruction.com.
Walmart's grocery pickup and delivery is a definite winner. And if you haven't tried it, here's how it works. Either download the Walmart grocery app or go to grocery.walmart.com. Place your order and select an exact time for pickup or a one-hour window for delivery. Satisfaction guaranteed because the folks in the store are trained to pick the best items, just like if you were picking for yourself. If you're not satisfied, you get your money back. Use the code WOWFRESH for $10 off on $50 or more. It's a great service. Walmart grocery pickup and delivery. It's quick, easy, and convenient.
This is the Entertainment Answer. What other films are taking on the live-action Lion King in theaters this week? None. Who would even try? Like it or not, these live-action remakes just aren't going away. Families can also look for Breakthrough now on all home formats, as well as Shazam for your older viewers. Plus, several other solid films are still going strong in theaters, including Toy Story 4 and Spider-Man Far From Home. Certainly a lot to keep your summer sizzling. For this Entertainment Answer, I'm Matt Mungle.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask Home Advisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, Home Advisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free Home Advisor app.
Home Advisor.
You know social media can grow your business. What you need is a social media strategy. August 6th, the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber presents the 2019 Social Media Marketing Conference from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Gain expert insights from Salem Surround, Yelp, and other local pros to help develop your social media goals, protect and advance your brand. Plus, hear little-known tips and tricks that'll make you a social media master at La Roche University's Apala College Center, Babcock Boulevard. Reserve now at wordfm.com/conference.
For kids, Idlewild is a place full of adventures. There are rides that are just their size, treats to tickle their taste buds, and special friends like Daniel Tiger to touch their hearts. When you're a grown-up, Idlewild is every bit as magical, every bit as memorable, every bit as fun. Idlewild and Soak Zone, because you love to see them smile. Save up to $17 on select days when you buy online at idlewild.com.
A shower or thunderstorm will be around for this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy and muggy tonight. Low 72. Will stay rather cloudy tomorrow, 80 degrees. There will be a couple of heavy showers and thunderstorms around tomorrow afternoon and into tomorrow night, even leading to some low-lying and poor drainage flooding. Low tomorrow night, 70. Clouds will give way to some sunshine for Thursday with a high of 87 degrees. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Danielle Niddle.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem, Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for coming along today. The Tuesday edition of The Ride Home. It's a hot one out there.
It is a hot one.
Get your air conditioning cranked.
It is super duper hot. Yeah, yep. Get your air conditioning cranked, John. Crank that up. Yep. Last night was a great, two nights ago was a great night for sleeping. Because... if you listen to the show regularly, you know that neither John nor I have air conditioning in our homes.
Right.
And so some nights, it's pretty sticky. Two nights ago, it was glorious. Last night was not quite as good.
We woke up at 2:30 in the morning. There was no power. Our power went off.
So you had no fan?
No fan.
I'm telling you, listen, if you don't have air conditioning, you live and die with your fan.
Yeah. Now
the fan becomes very dear and precious.
It surely does, yeah.
Uh-huh. To the family.
People can't believe that we don't have air conditioning.
I know. Sometimes I can't believe we don't have air conditioning. Anyway, it's the 50th anniversary of the launch of Apollo 11. And if you missed any of our 4 o'clock hour listen, I just encourage you to find our podcast at iTunes because, you know, John did such a fabulous job of really sketching out what that atmosphere was like in 1969 and the type of excitement, the type of pride, the type of commitment that it took for our country to accomplish such an incredible goal that today seems mundane because, you know, it's just the moon. It's
yeah,
like no big deal, but like it's hard for us to get our heads around what it was like at that time. So, John, tell me about tech. We have phones in our hands with incredible computing power.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
We have computers on our desk. I mean, I think in my house, I have 6 computers.
Yeah.
So, and we all use them for different things, not to mention the computer that's in my microwave, you know, the computer that's in my television, all of those sorts
sure.
of things.
In your car.
Right. Exactly. Everything. Exactly. So, I mean, what? 1969, we had like transistor radios.
Well, so in 1961, when JFK said, we're going to go to the moon, what was considered high tech would be your handheld transistor radio, right? I mean, they had gone from tubes to finally transistors. Transistor radio in 62 cost, you know, 10 or 15 bucks, which would be a lot of money, like, you know, $200+. But NASA, as they started to put together plans, they realized the transistors were not going to operate in space. So NASA and all their deep connections, they started to work with MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And at the time, MIT was on the cutting edge of high tech, and they were just introducing the microchip, which was
really
unbelievable, a huge leap forward. So NASA started to contract with MIT and a manufacturer for these microchips. And so few were being built that essentially a microchip cost $1,000 per chip. Now, as the 60s went on and microchips became more widely available, NASA was using 97% of the microchips manufactured in this
You're
country.
You're kidding.
And the price went from $1,000 in the early 60s to the time Apollo 11 launched to $3 per microchip. So essentially,
because the whole production ramped up, the tech ramped up, the demand ramped up, and that's, of course, the
exactly.
way
Exactly. And then big
works.
Business got in, of course, you know, IBM and all that whole thing. It took off. Essentially, NASA and Apollo invented the digital age. And when you look at what was in the computer on the lunar module that put the man on the moon, that was as raw a computer as you're likely to find. Essentially, there is more computing power in your toaster in your kitchen than what is on Apollo 11 lunar module. That's how raw Apollo 11 was. I mean, when you think about all the calculations had to be so accurate. And literally, you know, that prototypical guy with a skinny black tie in a white shirt with a slide rule. Because coming back from the moon, if they had miscalculated, that command module would have skipped off the the gravitational push of the planet. And that command module with the three astronauts would have gone into deep space. Let me just say one other thing. When I think about Apollo 11, the heartbreak, and this goes in today's world as well, that as the astronaut corps was being put together, there was talk, the astronauts are essentially, all Apollo astronauts were white, from the Midwest, in their 30s, and to a man, all of them were Presbyterian. That was the central core. Yeah. You can look it up. Now, at one point, there was a black astronaut, a guy who was, well, he was signaled to be an astronaut. This was a guy like all the other astronauts. This was a guy
test pilot,
a graduate of a school with a deep engineering degree, all that. He had the right stuff. And it came time to introduce this new school. This guy, he was passed by. And he was shocked that he was passed by because he was essentially promised, you'll be in the next class. He was never given an explanation. It just went by. It took 20 years from the time that this man was dissed, the first black astronaut, to the first real black astronaut who was on the space shuttle. Yeah. So all those things. I mean, you know, you think about where we are in America right now, racial equality, you know, sexual equality, all that disparity. Apollo and NASA in the 1960s, it was the core of what America was at that point, right? Protestant white men with advanced degrees who did this, who put the guys on the moon. But around that, there were a lot of women, women of color, scientists, engineers, women who were seamstresses, technicians, all that. It was, like I talked about in the 4 o'clock hour, a group effort. Everybody had a role, and it showed the best side of America.
So if we're looking at what we got out of the space program, we got so everybody felt good about it. And we got some cool video and some cool photos.
Yeah.
But technology wise, what did we get?
We got a lot. I mean, essentially, like I said, NASA invented the digital age because before that, I mean.
So there was no need for it before then.
No.
So that need, that imagination that you talked about in the 4 o'clock hour, fueled this complex that put together the machinery that was going to meet that goal that someone dreamed up. And so then there was a whole production, and then all of a sudden there were things that were available that people didn't know that they wanted, and wait, that could work in that discipline. And the next thing we know, we have the digital age.
You ever hear the phrase real-time computing? Real-time computing, of course, is, you know, our smartphone or our laptop. You know, we're working on problems in real time. Now, before that, there was no such thing as real-time computing. If somebody had a problem, they typed a problem into a computer, and then the computer...
They went away. Went home and went to bed.
And there were those massive IBM cards, and maybe in an hour or two or a day or so, that would spit your answer out. Well, to land on the moon with a lunar module, they had to have real-time computing. So as Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin are coming down on the surface of the moon and fuel is running out, that computer is processing. And there's these, if you watch the film, there's all these alarms. And alarms are going off, and they've never heard these alarms before. And so they're going, what's this alarm? And the guy who was one of the, you know, the geeks who put all these things together, he was like, just ignore that alarm. That computer is talking to itself in real time, and so much information is coming its way. The computer is shutting down and then restarting itself because it's overloaded, but going back to the place where it shut down in real time to make sure that everything's in place, that it can land successfully on the moon. And that you can hear that, the boom, 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 you know, the alarm's going off. And literally, when Neil Armstrong put that lunar module down on the surface, there was 30 seconds of fuel left in the tank.
That's amazing.
30 seconds. And so everybody on board, and they had this conversation with Neil Armstrong. They said, listen, I know that you're a test pilot. You've got, you know, this moxie, but do not think you're going to override us. And if we say abort the mission, you abort the mission. And Neil Armstrong, being a good soldier, he nodded his head. But later on, he confessed to the other guys. If they were saying we're going to abort this thing, and I'm so close to the surface of the moon, there is no way I'm going to do this. He was committed to it.
I'm not turning back.
Yeah.
I don't care what
they were committed. They were going to land on the, no matter what.
Gosh. All right. It's all things moon today, the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 launch. And so we're celebrating today.
Yeah.
We're going to take a little break from it, though, and talk to Rebecca McLaughlin. Boy, she wrote a fascinating piece about five reasons to disentangle sexuality and race in our pursuit of civil rights. That's next on today's Ride Home. Walk along the craters of the afternoon.
When the shadows are deep and the light is in. 101.5 WORD.
Next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
It is whether or not we are built upon a strong foundation that is in Jesus Christ or else nothing. That is whether or not our lives will last or whether or not they will not last.
Tune in next time for PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint tonight at 9:30 on 101.5 WORD.
You've been planning this day all your life. Enjoy your wedding and leave the catering to Bistro To Go on the north side. Discover Bistro's classiest, simply delicious menu selections from butler past hors d'oeuvres to starters, main courses, and desserts. Buffet or plated service, each package contains full china, linen, staffing, complimentary cake plating, and more. Reasonably priced from intimate morning breakfast to grand evening affairs. Find menus, pricing, even venue recommendations at bistroandcompany.com.
We're surrounded by noise, bombarded by information, messages struggling to get attention. So many ways to reach customers. Your message needs to cut through and stand out. For the resources and know-how to make it all work, there's Salem Surround. Get started with a free evaluation of your digital presence and some great ideas to increase your online visibility and revenue. Learn more at surroundpittsburgh.com. Surroundpittsburgh.com, connecting you with new customers.
Are you tired of your old and drafty windows and doors? Pella offers three lines of vinyl, a fiberglass product, and various lines of wood. So we have gorgeous new windows and doors to fit your needs and any budget. You deserve Pella quality. And for a limited time, get $150 off windows and $500 off doors, or 48 months no interest. Yeah, we can do that. Call 888-77-PELLA, PellaPittsburgh.com.
Train up children in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. PittsburghChristianSchools.net will help you locate true educational partners in Allegheny, Beaver, Butler, and Washington counties. PittsburghChristianSchools.net.
I love the joy that children bring to the office.
Good dental habits begin early with Dr. Megan Stock.
I like creating those good, positive first experiences.
My mommy is a really good dentist, and she'll take good care of you.
Visit Stock Family Dentistry.com.
You have my word on it.
Looking for a satisfying career helping people with disabilities? Consider LifeSteps, who's served Western Pennsylvania since 1923 and offers 100% paid health, dental, and vision premiums for full-time employees. All shifts available. Make a difference and call LifeSteps today at 724-283-1010 or visit LifeSteps.net. That's LifeSteps.net to check out available positions. LifeSteps is an equal opportunity employer.
I think all of us have heard this at one point or another. You know, you talk about what's happening here with gay and lesbian rights, and you voice opposition. Hey, I'm not really on board with that. And then people go, well, you're a hater, first of all. and you're a bigot, and essentially you are on the wrong side of history. And when you hear that, you kind of, me, I go, I got nothing. I'm on the wrong side of history.
Well, here's the problem I think that I have run into. And this is, I can't tell you how much time I have devoted to thinking about the issues of same-sex marriage in relation to civil rights in particular. You know, and I don't just mean in America. I'm just looking back at our history as Christians and how we approach issues of equality. And I got to be honest with you, we don't have a great track record.
No, we don't.
We really don't. So, you know, we know, especially looking at American history, that there was a great swath of the American church who believed that not only was slavery permissible, but it was the way to go.
Biblical.
There was nothing wrong with it. We should pursue. And, you know, you look back on that and you think,
what are you thinking?
How could we have been so wrong about that? How could we have been so blind, so deaf to the cries of Americans, fellow Americans right around us who were saying we have no rights, we have no individualness because you've taken that from us. I mean, that's the cross that we bear. This is the great sin of America. But so looking at civil, and I also let's bring women into the picture. Listen, for great swaths of world history, people who called on the name of God and believed in him have treated women like they were chattel,
right.
Have treated women like they were property, have treated girls like they didn't matter. I mean, our history on the treatment of women is not great either. So anyway, just taking those things into account and trying to be honest about and sober about the history of the church. When I look at issues related to homosexuality, I think, you know what? You got to be careful. Don't make the same mistake. So are there similarities in what we have learned with the treatment of women and the treatment of racial minorities and how we look at gay marriage today? Because if we're not willing to ask ourselves the sober question, don't act like you already know the answer. Don't just proof text it and, you know, point with your finger to someplace in the Bible that says that, you know, homosexuality is an abomination. I think it through. Be honest about your own history, the history of the church, because that's your history, and be honest about where you are today and be willing to ask questions that are hard to ask.
And the complexity of it. Rebecca McLaughlin is with us. Rebecca holds a PhD from Cambridge University, a theology degree from Oak Hill Seminary in London. She's a regular writer for the Gospel Coalition, and she wrote a piece called Five Reasons to Disentangle Sexuality and Race. Rebecca, how are you?
Hi, John and Kathy. Great to be with you again.
Always a pleasure, Rebecca.
Rebecca, hopefully I expressed even just a small degree of the angst I have about this issue, mm-hmm. simply because mm-hmm. I'm so eager to, I want to please God in how I think about this, how I treat people who are in same-sex relationships, how I treat people who have same-sex attraction. And I just recognize that we have not always been stellar, the church hasn't, in our treatment of issues of equality. From your perspective, Rebecca, how do you see this as someone who, for a large portion of your life, has had same-sex attraction?
Yeah, that's a great question. And number one, Kathy, I think all the issues you've raised so far have been incredibly important and incredibly weighty. And I agree that as Christians, the first thing that we must do in any conversation, either, you know, within the Christian community or with non-believers, is to acknowledge our own sin. And that's the sin that exists in my heart. It's also the sin, as you're pointing to, in the history of the church. And that's something that I think the Bible is brutally honest about, that we should expect in ourselves and in the church. And it's something that we need to be brutally honest about.
Right.
And so I think the cautions that you have there are really good. But I think if we actually look on a broader scale, and if we look at the Bible more deeply, we find that the message when it comes to same-sex marriage is actually very different than the message when it comes to, for example, mixed-race marriage, which clearly, you know, some Christians in America's past objected to on supposedly biblical grounds, but that weren't actually biblical grounds at all. Because as firmly as the Bible cuts in favor of racial equality and, in fact, racial integration, it actually cuts against same-sex sexual activity for believers.
Rebecca, let's. You're British, living now in America, so you can look at our country from a little bit of a different perspective, which I really appreciate because you can kind of be an outsider and kind of commenting on us. But you know, our history, I called it the greatest sin of America, and perhaps I shouldn't have labeled it that way because it's not for me to determine what our greatest sin is. But certainly the issue of slavery is just the shadow that just hangs in the back of all that we do and every way that we communicate in our country. So when we look at the fight for civil rights that went on for so many decades and continues on today, homosexual rights have kind of just linked onto that. And the black community has allowed that to happen. And as I've watched this over the last 10 years or so, I think I'm surprised by that. I think I'm surprised that the black community has allowed the gay community to come alongside, because I see those struggles for equality differently. Now, you're kind of an outsider. How do you see it?
Yeah, so first, I want to distinguish between the sort of civil rights broadly conceived as in what politically should be happening in any country outside of the church, and what Christians should be thinking and how they should be acting.
That's a good point. Okay.
How we see the Bible is, you know, extremely important. It doesn't necessarily determine how we should expect non-believers to behave. So I want to differentiate
a little bit.
This is less a conversation for me about, you know, the civil rights of gay and lesbian people in America, and more about how, you know, I as a Christian would be received for saying that I actually don't think that as a Christian I can enter into a same-sex marriage, for instance, which likely if I were not a Christian I would have done. And the first reason for that is that we can't equate racial heritage, which is something that you and I are born with and have no agency over, with sexual activity. And the tricky thing here is that you know, many people would say, you know, they're born with an innate disposition to be attracted to those of their same sex, and that may well be true for many people. But that does not determine our attractions, do not actually determine our actions. It's very important that we all recognize we have agency, we have the power to decide what we do with our bodies sexually, and that's not the same as something that we're born with. So you can't actually equate racial heritage with sexual activity.
Okay, so the hashtag MeToo movement is the perfect example of that, right? One thing we are learning as a culture is because you want something or someone doesn't give you the right to go get it.
Right, and I think, you know, we can argue all day long as to exactly where the moral boundaries lie, and, you know, with Christian or non-Christian friends, I might be having those conversations. But I think we all need to agree, and as you've said, the MeToo movement has exposed this very clearly, that our sexual actions carry moral weight in a way that our racial heritage doesn't.
Okay, so I see that. I think that's persuasive, that our racial heritage doesn't have anything to do with what we would do with it. Like, I guess moral agency is the best term that you use. I can't think of a better way to say it. Okay, so sexual activity then is a choice. Racial heritage, not a choice.
Right. And as you all know from your knowledge of American history and global history, sadly, people tried, for racially motivated reasons, scientists tried for a really long time to prove meaningful biological differences between people of different racial backgrounds. And they failed. But there are meaningful biological differences between men and women. And I think this is another reason we need to be really careful before we, you know, simplistically equate gay marriage with a mixed race marriage, because actually we're talking in one sense, one case about a biological dead end, and in the other case about actually a biologically often advantageous situation where if you have more genetic diversity, you're actually less likely to have children who have, you know, various disabilities. So you can't actually straightforwardly equate same-sex marriage with marriage between, a black person and a white person, which is often what people are doing rhetorically.
We're talking to Rebecca McLaughlin. She holds a PhD from Cambridge University, theology degree from Oak Hill Seminary, and she's the author of a brand new book called Confronting Christianity, 12 Hard Questions for the World's Largest Religion, which I really recommend highly. Rebecca, talk about how people who aren't gay are looking at gay marriage. I mean, how has the advent of that issue in culture hit people?
Yeah, well, clearly there have been a range of reactions. And many of my non-Christian friends are eager to embrace and affirm and, you know, be allies with those who are in gay relationships. I come to this with a, you know, very personal history, as I mentioned, of somebody who, were I not a Christian, I might well have ended up married to a woman rather than a man. And so this has been not a situation where I've gone to the scriptures looking for them to discredit gay marriage for Christians, but actually I would have gone to the scriptures looking for them to affirm that. And that simply wasn't the message that I found there. And I think as I've dug more into the scriptures, I've understood more and more that the point of marriage really is to mirror and illustrate the gospel. Jesus' love for his church is pictured in the scriptures as a marriage. And that is a love across difference. It's actually not a love of sameness. And so there's an important way in which our biological differences between men and women kind of mirror that difference between Jesus and his church, which is what any human romance can at its very best only give us a tiny glimpse of.
So, Rebecca, let's talk then about how this has worked in your own life. Let's take a break from the theoretical and talk a little bit more about the personal. I mean, you're married to a man, and you are a mom of three kids, right?
I am, yeah.
Okay, so yes, but so how did that happen? And is that, if I listen to culture, I would say that you have limited yourself, that you can never be happy as you are. Why have you chosen this life?
Well, so let's start with some data, actually. It turns out, strange as I sound, I am the most typical kind of same-sex attracted person. Mm. So about 14% of women find themselves significantly attracted to other women, but only 1% of women are exclusively attracted to other women. Mm. So me as somebody who is nine times, like, far more likely to be attracted to women than men, it's nonetheless not impossible for me to be attracted to a man and you know, hence making, you know, marriage work quite successfully with my husband. I think, you know, does it place me in the position of needing to say no to sexual temptation and romantic inclinations at times in my life? Sure. But my guess is that's true of every single Christian, whether they're married or not. But the question isn't, are we ever attracted to someone we're not married to? The question is, what will we do with those attractions? And I think we need to be giving them all to Jesus, whatever, you know, whatever form our temptation might take.
It's interesting, culturally speaking, and I know we're speaking particularly about the church, but I have to keep bringing culture into it because this is where we are. But from a media perspective, you hear oftentimes about people who have been in a heterosexual marriage, but they finally come to grips with the fact that they are same-sex attracted, and we all get behind them and say, we're so happy that you have finally come to grips with who you are, and we want you to live into that. So we want you to, you know, leave your heterosexual spouse so that you can finally find who you've always been. There are precious few narratives in our American culture which talk about someone who is living the reverse of that, like you are.
Yeah, well, one of my best friends is actually living the precise reverse of that, having come to Christ out of a lesbian relationship when she was a sort of atheist undergrad at Yale. And I've got a number of friends who've got stories of that nature. But again, the research that's coming out at the moment is quite interesting. So there's a woman named Lisa Diamond, who's a professor at University of Utah, and she is herself a lesbian activist. So she has no desire to find the results that she's found. But what she's found is that it's actually quite common for people's sexual attractions to change over time, particularly for women. There's quite a lot of evidence for what she calls sexual fluidity. So whereas somebody could well be in a heterosexual marriage and then discover at, you know, 35 that they were falling in love with a woman, it actually happens quite often the other way as well. A significant number of people who, you know, would have identified as gay or lesbian who actually end up finding themselves strongly attracted to those of the opposite sex and you know, maybe sort of switching out a different kind of identification. So this idea that we're either kind of straight or gay and that to be what you might term bisexual or sort of some sort of strange mix of things is you know, extremely atypical and probably just, you know, denial of your real sexuality is actually pretty much demonstrated to be false.
Dr. Rebecca McLaughlin with us, Cambridge University, theology degree from Oak Hill Seminary, regular writer for the Gospel Coalition and author of the brand new book, Confronting Christianity, 12 Hard Questions for the World's Largest Religion. Okay, just a couple minutes left, Rebecca. Let me ask you this. For those of us who are outside of the gay community, either we've never experienced same-sex attraction or we have or haven't acted on it, or we're just, that's not our community, but we believe in Jesus and we long to model him well, and we want to treat others with respect and kindness and without judgment, while at the same time being sober about what we understand, what we're reading in the Bible. Give us some advice and some guidance on that. How do we do that? What do you think is important for us to know?
Yeah, I actually find that the Apostle Paul is quite a good model on this. You may find that surprising. People will say, you know, Paul is the one who says all the hard things in the New Testament, which isn't really true at all. But Paul, in the very same letter where, you know, one of the sins that he's calling out is homosexual sex, he describes himself as the worst of sinners. So he is not standing on some sort of self-righteous ground, pointing at other people and saying, you know, your sin is worse than mine. He actually says quite the opposite, that he thinks he is a worse sinner than any of the people he has listed, and the sexual sins kind of come in a big list of other kinds of sins as well. And Paul was writing at a time where actually, particularly for men, sex with other men was perfectly fine in many cases. So it's not true that this is only very recently that has homosexual sex been culturally acceptable. It was very much part of Greco-Roman culture, at least for men, if they were, free men and exploiting others, that was just about fine. And so I think we need to come with any question in conversation with non-believers with the posture of us actually being the worst sinner. Yeah. We're not here to say we're better than anyone else. And if we're honest about our own hearts, my guess is that all of us have enough evidence of lust or romantic desire in our own hearts that would frankly humiliate us were others to know. And so if we're coming with a sense of superiority, we're missing the gospel completely. I think instead we need to come to others with love and respect and with the recognition that we're probably a worse sinner than they are in the first place.
This is Dr. Rebecca McLaughlin, author of the book, I Can't Recommend It More Highly. You're going to love it. It's really going to challenge you. Confronting Christianity, 12 Hard Questions for the World's Largest Religion.
Guess what time it is?
I've been waiting all day for this.
It is time now for today's $1,000 daily cash giveaway, Word FM Word of the Day.
Are you having fun with words?
It's going to give away $1,000 in cash to somebody.
Remember these words.
The Word FM Word of the Day is Rooney. Enter the word Rooney online at wordfm.com/cash, and you'll have a chance to win $1,000. Again, the Word FM Word of the Day is Rooney.
Ice cream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream. That's exactly what's happening every day at the Springhouse in 84. We're literally up to our elbows in ice cream. But who could resist a cotton candy ice cream cone? Or how about cookie dough? Or Heath Crunch? Or even raspberry chocolate yogurt? You've just got to try them all. If not a cone, then how about a toasted almond fudge ball? Creamy vanilla ice cream rolled in toasted chopped almonds and topped with gooey hot fudge and real whipped cream. Or better yet, a strawberry ice cream shortcake made with real old-fashioned shortcakes, smothered with sliced strawberries, and again, real whipped cream. Jump in the car now. Head to 84 in the Springhouse, where we want you to scream for ice cream.
She has a calming spirit. You can tell she's a genuine person and actually cares.
Exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care with Dr. Megan Stock.
She was just friendly and nice, and her office staff is actually just as welcoming. And you can tell that they all are really on the same page, and they want to help people. And even my family members, like my mom goes to her, and she's always been terrified of dentists, and she just raves about Dr. Megan.
Stock Family Dentistry on Perry Highway in Wexford at StockFamilyDentistry.com. You know social media can grow your business. What you need is a social media strategy. August 6th, the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber presents the 2019 Social Media Marketing Conference from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Gain expert insights from Salem Surround, Yelp, and other local pros to help develop your social media goals, protect and advance your brand. Plus, hear little-known tips and tricks that'll make you a social media master at La Roche University's Appella College Center, Babcock Boulevard. Reserve now at wordfm.com/conference.
When wet weather is on the way, keep it dry inside with J&D Waterproofing. Water seepage and a sinking foundation can cause major structural damage if left untreated. Joe Belanti and the team at J&D Waterproofing have the experience to correct your water problem with over 72 years in the industry. Call the Tri-State's premier waterproofing company now at 1-800-VERY-DRY for a free estimate and big savings on all waterproofing services for a limited time. J&D Waterproofing, 1-800-VERY-DRY.
If you are a conservative, you have to get a copy of The Lawyer's Guild. Veteran journalist Howell Woltz, W-O-L-T-Z, wrote 7 books about corruption in the legal system. And in this, his first novel, President Donald Trump and his gang of deplorables launched the American Spring, taking down the deep state. Go to Amazon, type in W-O-L-T-Z, the author's name, or The Lawyer's Guild, and get your copy today. That's W-O-L-T-Z, The Lawyer's Guild, published by the International Center for Justice.
A shower or thunderstorm will be around for this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy and muggy tonight. Low 72. We'll stay rather cloudy tomorrow, 80 degrees. There will be a couple of heavy showers and thunderstorms around tomorrow afternoon and into tomorrow night, even leading to some low-lying and poor drainage flooding. Low tomorrow night, 70. Clouds will give way to some sunshine for Thursday with a high of 87 degrees. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Danielle Niddle.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars.
Celebrating moon music today.
Ah, yes.
As we remember the launch of Apollo 11 50 years ago today. Also, Emmy nominations are out today, John. And in looking at them, I realize that I don't watch what anyone else watches.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
And, you know, you and I compare notes often, and I think we're sort of... We're diving in weird, deeper areas.
Yeah. And there's so much to watch.
Oh, my gosh.
With streaming that it's kind of hard to narrow it down. But let's go with drama series first. Better Call Saul, which I'm surprised you've never watched because of Breaking Bad.
Yeah. It sort of seems kind of...
anticlimactic.
In a way, almost sacrilegious. Because I love the character from Breaking Bad, Saul. But I just didn't want it to cross over.
I've heard it's very good.
I bet it is.
Okay. Anyway. This Is Us. Succession, Pose, FX, Ozark from Netflix, Killing Eve from AMC, Game of Thrones, of course. The only one I can speak to is Bodyguard, which was made by Netflix and stars one of the guys from Game of Thrones and Haley. Oh, I can't think of what her name is, but she is a British actress who and the show takes place in Britain. She's the Home Minister. What do they call it in Britain?
Home Secretary.
Home Secretary. So it's like a political thriller.
Right.
It is awesome.
Bodyguard.
Oh, my gosh.
On Netflix.
Oh.
Really? Okay.
It is. And I don't know why it's under drama series because it's over. It's a mini series. It's not like it's going to continue. It is so fabulous. But
really?
Let me just hear me when I tell you that it is not for kids. Okay. It is explicit
in
several areas. So anyway, but it is so well done. Have you watched Ozark?
No, I'm looking at this drama series. I only know Better Call Saul. Everything else,
okay.
Of course, Game of Thrones. I have no interest in.
You have no interest in Mike. Game of Thrones.
I'm not interested at all.
See, I'm not either.
I haven't watched.
People
one
are rabid
episode.
About it.
I know.
It set a record for most Emmy nominations
of any
32.
Show in history. And the three of us don't have any interest in it.
No, I None. Don't. I look at it and go, it looks like mayhem. I'm not really interested.
I'm not interested in it either. No, Mike, no. Why not you?
You know, all of my friends are interested in it that I went to college with. And,
yeah.
And I just can't get into it. I'm sorry.
Have you seen it? Have you watched any of it?
I didn't even give it a shot.
Neither
have I.
None of us have given it a shot.
We are not qualified to speak of this show.
I just don't want to do the explicit thing. It's like hugely sexual. It's hugely violent. I don't. Really? Yeah. Do I need that?
No, I got my own mind to deal
I don't feel
with.
Like
it's too much
exactly.
to bear.
I'm
not really
that.
Into that Dungeons and Dragons.
Right, yeah. There you go, Mike. Thank you.
Okay,
Dungeons
the
and Dragons.
The only D&D thing I want to be in touch with is Stranger Things.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so comedy series.
Yeah, comedy series.
Now, you've seen a lot of these.
Barry, I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
Fleabag, I don't know what is.
No.
The Good Place, I know what that is,
I've
but I've not seen
I've heard about that,
it.
But
is
I've never
Ted
seen
Danson?
It. That's Ted Danson.
Okay. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which I watched, I loved.
I watched one season. You watched two seasons.
Yeah. Now, here's the deal. Mrs. Maisel, ultimately, she's unlikable.
For sure.
But everybody around her, her dad.
Her dad.
I mean,
mom.
And plus, the period, it's like late 50s, early 60s, New York City. I love that period.
The production of it
outstanding.
Is outstanding.
Yeah.
But I just stopped watching it because I didn't like her.
Well,
and I hate her comedy.
Yeah, her comedy's bad. But when season three comes out, I'll continue to watch it.
Okay.
Russian Doll, I'd probably watch 6 or 7 episodes
of
Russian Doll. And I like it, but I have reservations about it. It takes me to be kind of go,
why?
It's dark.
Oh,
it's dark and funny and very, it's twisted. So I have to be in a particular go, okay, yeah, I can watch an episode. But it's been a while. Schitt's Creek.
Right, so those are the guys we love, the guys who did Best in Show,
yeah.
Spinal
That's
Tap.
It's Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hare,
right.
Which are two of the finest comedians of any generation. I probably have seen 8 or so episodes
That's a
of
lot.
That. And
you don't love it.
No,
see,
I don't.
See, that's one of the things I think I got to watch that because I know I'll love it because I love those guys.
I like it, but I'm not like, you know, I'm not going to go must-see TV.
Veep?
I saw 2 episodes of that. There's about 8 billion F-bombs in it. And so I was like, I'll just skip that.
I don't know.
That's us.
All right. Well,
all of a sudden we're like old fuddy duds with the Emmys.
And listen, I watch a lot of current stuff, but for some reason,
seriously, you know what I want to watch? And I was talking to one of the guys here.
Maria Kondo.
I'm not going to watch that.
Oh, yeah, she was nominated, by
she
the
was.
Way.
My go-to is always Turner Classic Movies. Always. I'd much rather watch that, Channel 230, Turner Classic, than just about anything on television.
Okay, well, don't you worry, because you know what else was nominated for an Emmy?
Hmm.
Comedians in Cars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, the 19th, new season, right?
Friday night.
Fabulous.
Super duper.
Okay, Jerry Seinfeld, Comedians in Cars. Looking forward to that. That's must-see TV for sure. Take a break, come back. What are we talking about? Oh.
Summer. What do you still have left to do?
Yeah, I got a lot to do. The days are dwindling.
101.5 WORD.
Next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
Trials refine us to remember that we must value the future over the present. Trials, you see, make us long for heaven.
Tune in next time for PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint tonight at 9:30 on 101.5 WORD.
Hey, it's John Hall. So a while back, the folks at MyPillow said, "Hey, John, can you try out a MyPillow and let us know what you think?" I was skeptical. I mean, it's a pillow, but what did I have to lose, right? I'll tell you what I lost. Interrupted sleep. No more folding the pillow in half. No more flat, lifeless pillows. It changed my life. So I'm letting you know, you need MyPillow. Well, not my actual pillow, but your own MyPillow. It stays cool all night long. No more waking up at 3 a.m. to flip to the cool side of the pillow. It keeps its shape. No more reshaping your pillow in the middle of the night. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Try it. Don't like it? Return it. MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty. Do you have a pillow that comes with a 10-year warranty? You can toss a MyPillow into your washer and dryer. It's like new again. Get a 2-pack of MyPillow's premiums for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 800-391-0954. Use promo code WORD.
It's time to stand with Israel. Consider the lifelong impact of joining nationally syndicated media hosts Dennis Prager and Mike Gallagher, along with Word FM, on the Stand with Israel tour this December 2nd through 11th. More than a vacation, this journey will guide you through centuries of faith and culture as you visit iconic places right out of Scripture. Along the way, your hosts will broadcast on-site while you watch and participate. Together with like-minded travelers, you'll see over 40 iconic sites during the 10-day tour where you can pray at the Western Wall in Old City, Jerusalem, float in the Dead Sea, and take a boat out onto the water of the Sea of Galilee. Have you ever wanted to walk inside the Garden Tomb? Register today for the Stand with Israel tour this December 2nd through 11th. Just visit our website for more details and registration information at wordfm.com/Israel. That's wordfm.com/Israel.
Providence Presbyterian Church,
Washington Alliance Church,
Bethlehem Lutheran Church,
St. John the Baptist Church,
Impact Christian Church,
The Bible Chapel.
What do all these churches from various denominations have in common?
Nello Construction.
Design and build with one company.
Nello Construction.
Full service construction from the ground up.
Renovation. Expansion.
Nello Construction.
the choice for churches.
See the projects.
Begin the journey
at NelloConstruction.com.
In the summertime, when the weather is hot, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, you got women on your mind.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for that.
I love
nice,
this song.
Nice lead in. We're just talking about summer activities. I don't have women on my mind.
All of a sudden, it's
good
like,
stuff, yeah.
Well, it was like good, and then it got awkward.
Yeah, what the heck, man? Yeah.
All right, so summer halfway through.
It feels like it's more than halfway
it's
through.
It's not. Would you say?
It does.
It's not.
Like close to being over. That's no. What I feel.
What no, is it's not.
He. You
I'm telling.
Are sometimes. Glass half empty.
Seriously.
No, I'm not. Oh, yeah. No, it's July 16th.
Dear heaven.
This time next month, kids will be back to school. Pretty much.
It'll still be nice.
Yeah, would you just pipe it down?
Once kids
good
go back
grief.
To school, that's it. It's over.
Oh,
you know that.
No,
you know it's
that's
yes,
that's
it
not
is.
True.
Yes,
that
it
not
is.
True. It's not true. All right, so the question is,
yep.
At the beginning of the summer, we all have these grandiose ideas of,
right,
I want to do this summer, I want to do this, I want to do this. Okay. Now that it's July 16th, we need to get serious
yeah.
about the stuff that we still
oh,
need to
goodness.
Do. And so I want to know from both of you guys, what are the things you still, that are still on your 19 summer bucket list?
See, because time is short, I don't know if I can do these things.
That's all right. But that's why we're brainstorming. Okay. We're talking it out so you can get your list in
all
action.
Right. I'm a shadow of my dad. My dad, every summer, had this massive garden in his back in our backyard. I mean, everything. I've got a few flowers. I've got nothing else. So I wish I had a garden, but I don't have a garden. And the big thing was, my dad every summer, he made Don Hall's homemade root beer. Mm. And he made root beer, and then we as a family bottled this stuff and capped it.
Oh, my
I mean,
gosh.
Probably 100 bottles of this.
Oh, my gosh.
And they would sit down in the basement and ferment. And then this, more often than not, this would happen. We'd be eating dinner, and all of a sudden you'd hear, my dad go, root beer's ready. And you, when you opened this stuff up, you had to go out in the backyard because it was like Apollo 11. You take
speaking
that,
of.
You take that lid off, and it would shoot up in the air. There's like high plume of foam. But I tell you, the best root beer I've ever had in my life was my dad's root beer. And we always made it. We've made it as a family, me and my kids, one time only. And this year I said, we're making root beer this summer. Here it is, July 16th.
Have you made root beer?
No.
How's your garden?
It's non-existent.
Mike.
I'm actually having root beer floats on Friday. If
don't
you
love
that's insensitive.
Don't you love root beer floats?
Yes, because
oh,
that's so
gosh,
delicious.
Oh, my
who
gosh.
Kidding?
Please live the. Mm.
All right. I want to go boating.
Oh,
boating.
You love boating.
Yes.
What
I
kind
would,
of boating?
You can go to Moraine State Park and rent a pontoon boat.
Sure.
Can you?
You can.
Sure. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
It's a lot of fun.
Really?
Of fun. Yeah. I usually have about 5 to 6 guys and girls come with me. The last 2 years,
all of a sudden, it sounded like a commune.
Yeah. But the last 2 years, I've done this. I try to make it a tradition.
Yeah.
But it is quite expensive if you want to rent the boat the whole day.
Quite expensive. How much?
But
$300. $500.
Yeah, easily. Around $300.
Okay.
But I want to do that, and I want to buy a house before the fall.
Oh yes.
Buy a house.
Yes.
Right. That's okay. So that's. That's a way bigger goal than make root
that
beer.
That sure is. Yeah.
Sure is. Yeah.
I'm trying to plant tomatoes. You're worried about your attic.
Right.
Okay, that's good.
Right.
And I do want to travel to Toronto and visit the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Oh
that's a great thing to do, Mike.
You got a passport?
I do.
Okay, you're
do.
Good to go.
Oh,
Hockey Hall of Fame. Sounds like
a great thing.
Okay,
that
Kath, what do you
thing.
Got?
Well, you know, my number one every year is eat outside.
Always.
Because I love to eat meals outside.
We were just outside last night?
Now here's the thing. We eat meals at home outside every night.
Yeah.
But
oh,
I like
to
eat at a restaurant outside.
Where are you going
to
go?
This is one of my favorite things. Well, I don't know. This is the time when I solicit, you know, ideas from people here on the ride home. I would like to hear about more places that offer al fresco dining so that I can take advantage. Your favorite places to eat outside.
Where do you have a favorite place to eat
well,
outside?
Well, I love my favorite. Well, I have several favorites. I really love Pusidy's Garden, which is on Butler Street in Lawrenceville. It's just
wait, you're sitting on
beautiful.
Butler Street or you're sitting in a garden?
You're sitting in a garden.
Okay.
You're sitting in Pusidy's Garden.
Oh. Pusidy, spell it.
P-U-S-A-D-E-E apostrophe S.
Pusidy's.
Pusidy's Garden.
Really?
It's a Thai restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a lovely, lovely spot.
Nice, lovely.
I love the patio at the Pines Tavern in North Park.
How about the porch?
I love the porch.
Yeah.
I love how open that is.
Oakland?
But see, here's the thing. All those places I've named, haven't eaten there.
What's the problem? What's holding you up?
I don't know.
Andorra?
Andorra. I love their patio.
Where's Andorra?
Andorra and Swickley.
Oh,
Mount Nebo Road.
Very nice.
I love their patio.
Okay.
And I love their salmon salad with
so one more thing.
Almonds.
Besides eating out, what else?
Or pecans. We need to get new windows in our house before the winter hits because our house is a sieve.
Uh-huh.
So now it's fine when everything's warm and everyone's happy. But when the temperature is 5 below, things get very unhappy
at the
Emmons household. So we're working on that.
Okay, very good. All right. I mean, my root beer pales in comparison to you guys.
All of a sudden, your goals. But I got to be honest with you, it's way too late for your garden. Sorry, pal.
I just want some tomatoes. And I don't want those little cherry tomatoes. I want, like, you know, a nice homegrown beefsteak tomato.
Buy them at the store.
All right.
If you have an unpaid tax debt to the IRS that you can't pay, please hear this special notice. Specially approved IRS relief programs designed to aid delinquent taxpayers are now in effect that can significantly improve your financial situation. Depending on your circumstances, you may qualify to have your tax problem resolved in your favor and may even have your back taxes reduced by thousands or eliminated entirely. A relief hotline has been established by Community Tax for you to call and see if you qualify at 800-500-5588. If you owe the IRS back taxes that you can't afford to pay, don't let the IRS trick you into thinking you have no way out. Our highly accredited tax professionals will let you know what you qualify for and how much you can save. We may be able to stop all liens, garnishments, levies, and save you thousands. Call and see if you qualify for this taxpayer relief at 800-500-5588. 800-500-5588. That's 800-500-5588. Community Tax. Who's your tax guy?
This is the entertainment answer. Disney's live-action Lion King looks to reign over the box office as we see another of these remakes hit the big screen. Now, it isn't the last one, but might be the most anticipated, and it does look fantastic, and diehard fans need to make sure they catch this on IMAX or at least the biggest screen in their area. Now, for those still asking, why do we need these? There are still some other solid original choices at your Cineplex. Lion King rated PG and destined to top the box office this week and several more to come. For this entertainment answer, I'm Matt Mungle.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. How much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app.
HomeAdvisor. Looking to buy a car? Online shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for the car you want and see what other people paid for it too. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience.
I love the joy that children bring to the office.
Good dental habits begin early with Dr. Megan Stock.
I like creating those good, positive first experiences.
My mommy is a really good dentist and she'll take good care of you.
Visit StockFamilyDentistry.com.
You have my word on it.
Looking for a satisfying career helping people with disabilities? Consider LifeSteps, who's served Western Pennsylvania since 1923 and offers 100% paid health, dental, and vision premiums for full-time employees. All shifts available. Make a difference and call LifeSteps today at 724-283-1010 or visit lifesteps.net. That's lifesteps.net to check out available positions. LifeSteps is an equal opportunity employer.
The 50th anniversary of the launch of Apollo 11.
Nice.
If you missed any of our show, we talked a lot about this tremendous American accomplishment. John Hall was at, I will say, your absolute best in the 4 o'clock hour talking about that. So if you missed any of today's show, find us online at iTunes or at our website, johnnycathyshow.com. Check out the podcast. Hey, Emmy nominations are out. We talked a little bit about it earlier in today's show. A couple things I really want to see but haven't is Chernobyl.
Me too.
That miniseries.
That's HBO,
we have to watch,
right?
We have to watch that.
Well, we're not going to see that for years.
Yeah,
we
because
don't
we don't have HBO.
Right. So, you know, we still wanted to see the O.J. thing.
Which we still
HBO.
Haven't seen. No. Yeah. But we're going to get on that. We're going to, like, 5 years late.
I'll be 74.
Okay. Let me recommend documentary now.
What is
that? That's made by Seth Meyers and...
Seth Meyers, the comedian.
Uh-huh. Yeah. John Mulaney.
Oh, I love it. What?
Oh, my gosh. It is the most hilarious thing.
What?
They are mocks of classic documentaries.
Oh.
So if you watch documentaries, you'll recognize them in the mock, and you will laugh.
Oh, that's good.
You will laugh. The one of the Eagles, you know, the Eagles four-hour documentary, they do something called the Blue Jean Committee that will make you cry.
Really?
It is so awesome.
What's it on? Prime or Netflix?
It's on Prime,
okay.
I think.
Documentary
anyway.
Now.
And the Carpool Karaoke with James Corden and Paul McCartney
sure, yeah.
was nominated for several Emmys.
Oh, it should win because it was outstanding.
Wasn't that lovely?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't even like the Beatles.
Some great
you,
TV.
You all know that. Boy, that is terrific.
Excellent.
30
yeah.
minutes.
James Corden. All right. That's a lot. All this streaming is just hard to keep up, isn't it?
You can't keep up.
It's like a full-time
right?
job. Sitting at home watching television 24/7. Anyway, take a break from your TV watching and tune us in here to Word FM from 4 to 6, The Ride Home. Podcast is up and running as we leave the air. Check that out online at johnandkathyshow.com. Have a great night. Stay cool.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.